So God doesn't have grandchildren. Amen? You don't get in on your parents' coattails. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So remembering what God has done, I want to just read a passage of scripture from the last chapter of the book of Joshua. And I was debating on whether to do the whole reading. I don't think I'll do that. It's verses 1 through 15. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I've got verse 15. I'll put it up on the screen in a second. we got a nursery meltdown there. But what it is, this is just at the end of Joshua's life. I think he's 110 years old. He was Moses' protege, and then Moses died, and Joshua led the people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, and a lot of amazing things. And that's, I think it was 7 years, they estimate, that it took to conquer. And as he gets to the end of the book of Joshua in chapter 24, he recounts all that God, and I say all, but he talks about what God had done from the time of Abraham, or even Abraham's father, Terah, right on through to the present. And he said, you know, he's telling them, he's reminding them of all the things that God has done. If it's getting too noisy out there, you can close those doors. Let's close the doors. All right. I'm making the decision for you. And in verse 15, after Joshua recounts all this, he says this: "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." All that Joshua said to the people through all those verses leading up to verse 15, it wasn't for God's sake, right? God's memory's fine. It was for the people's sake. Remember what God has done. God doesn't need to be reminded. It's an act of remembering what he has done, and he encourages them, and that encourages our faith. And again, we shared the Lord's Supper this morning, and I made that point that it's a remembrance. It takes us back to the cross. You know, we never should stray from the cross. You know, it's never like, oh, that's, you know, I know that. You know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I know about that. No, you never go away from the cross, because that is where it all begins. And so communion brings us back in a regular basis to that. And like we read today, do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We can't allow these things to become routine, things that we just kind of go through the motions. These are important things, what God has done in our lives. In the Old Testament, they built altars of remembrance. God promised Jacob that he would never leave him in Genesis 28, and Jacob built an altar. God rescued Jacob from his brother Esau in Genesis 33, and Jacob built another altar. He called it El Elohi Israel, God, the God of Israel. When God defeated the Amalekites, Moses, in Exodus 17, he built an altar. And he called that altar, "The Lord is my banner," Jehovah Nissi. Some of you know that story. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he came down at the base of Mount Sinai. He built an altar with 12 pillars. We read that in Exodus 24. Now, we don't go around building altars in our day, but we find ways to remember what God has done. Rehearse God's history in your life and what he has done. And I just go back to that song. That's just, you know, that just came out. I don't know when it came out, but I just heard it a month or two ago. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, just another reminder of what God has done. I want to look at another passage in Joshua. It's in Joshua chapter 4. This is after Joshua had led the people across the Jordan River. And we read in verse 2 and 3, "Take for yourselves," so the The Lord stops the flow of the river, so it's a dry riverbed, and they're able to walk across. In verse 2, it says, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.'" Skipping down to verse 6. "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?'" In verse 7, "Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." So this reminder, these 12 stones, these 12 large stones that these 12 men carried out of the riverbed and they set up on the other side, on that the promised land side of the Jordan, it wasn't just for their remembrance. It wasn't just a memorial for them. It was a memorial for their children after them. And we have a sacred responsibility to let the generation after us know what God has done, both in our lives and even throughout history. That's part of our responsibility as we grow older, you know, whether it's as parents or in any way, you know, to share with the next generation what God has done. It's part of our responsibility and privilege. I mean, it, to me, I don't see it as a responsibility. I mean, I do, but it's a privilege to share what God has done. So I have four reasons why I think we should do these sorts of things. First of all, it's always right to thank God. It's always right to give him praise for what he's done, for who he is, for who we are in him. That's just a good thing. It keeps our faith centered on him. It's a healthy perspective. It keeps our faith fresh. Just thanking him for all that he's done. If you start to feel stale, you cannot. I just heard something. How did that go? You can't be thankful, and I can't remember what it was. You can't be thankful and stressful at the same, or stressed at the, you can't be thankful and bitter at the, I can't remember. It was a great quote, and I'm butchering it here. But when you're thankful, there's a fresh wind that just blows into your spirit because of, you know, when you're thinking about what God has done and you're thankful. And that, you know, we still go through our struggles and our problems, but still, it keeps our faith fresh. And so if you're stale, if you feel kind of stale, maybe you just need to take a little more time and a little more effort just thanking God for what he's done. Amen? Secondly, we forget. We have short memories, especially when it comes to good things. Why is it that we remember bad things longer than we remember good things? It seems like, you know, a bunch of good things can happen and we kind of just file those away and forget about it. And then one bad thing happens and, you know, the whole train comes off the track, right? We have a way of forgetting, especially the good things. I was noticing in Deuteronomy this theme of not forgetting, and boy, there's a lot of verses. I just put up a couple. "Only take heed to yourselves," Deuteronomy 4:9, and "diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Don't forget what God has done. Deuteronomy 8:19, "Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." Don't forget what God has done. Thirdly, the present can be confusing. It can be disorienting. When we're in the midst of a battle, when we're facing battles in our lives, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to lose our focus. It's easy to get off track. And it's so important, you know, in the middle of the battle, that is where it's so easy to lose that focus. You know, sometimes I think we think every attack is because of sin or something in our lives. Now, there could be some correlation there, but a lot of times attacks come because let me say it this way. I've kind of struggled with how to say it. The closer you get to a breakthrough, the more intense the attacks are, okay? You see what I'm saying? God's about to do something. He's about to break through, and it just seems like all you know what has come unleashed against you. Attacks increase in intensity as you get closer to a breakthrough. So it can get, you know, they talk about the fog of war. Well, you know, not that we're in a physical war, but boy, we can go through the fog of war when we're going through things in our lives sometimes. And those attacks, you know, were like, God, where are you? You know, why is all this happening? And, you know, keep your focus on him. And we're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We're victorious by the blood of the Lamb, all those promises of Scripture. I heard, Hector Santos, I heard him speak back early this year, I think back in January at one of the LifeNet meetings. And he said, you know, thieves don't usually break into an abandoned house. They go places where they think there's a house full of treasure. So sometimes, you know, if you're getting attacked by the enemy, it's because there's a treasure in you that he's trying to steal, that he's trying to destroy, that he's trying to mar. And fourthly, like I said already, these reminders of God's faithfulness, well, this is a little bit different, but I was thinking about telling our children. But they prepare us, what I'm saying here, number four, they prepare us for the future. We're going to face new challenges. We're going to come up against bigger obstacles. God is going to take us to higher levels. And it helps to take a step back and remember what he has done in the past. And the longer you serve him, the deeper that reservoir of experience is. And that's a really cool thing. You know, the longer I serve him and you go through things and you know, all those things are starting to hit you and all that disoriented whatever, you know, goes on. But there's a deep reservoir of what God has done. And I rely on that and I go back to that. And the longer you serve him, the more, you know, you have those experiences that you can call on. I've thought of this a lot. How will you ever know that God is big enough if you never put yourself in a place where you're not? Amen? You know, so there's challenges ahead, but as we think of what God has done, you know, we can take heart and take courage. So there's three key words: remember, renew, and recommit. Remember what God has done, renew your faith in him, and recommit yourself to following him, to following his covenant. A couple more scriptures on remembrance. This one is in Exodus about the institution of the Passover, right? When you think about the feasts that the Jewish people were told to follow and adhere to and practice throughout their history, they took them back. It would take them back to a time, many of them, you know, of remembering what God has done. And certainly Passover is probably the biggest one. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to you, to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Remember what God did for them. You know, that's what, you know, that's what Moses said. Remember what God did for you in leading you out, delivering you and protecting you and leading you out of the land of Egypt. A couple from 2 Peter. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And Peter also says, Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. One point of clarification: this is not about living in the past, okay? There's a difference, and we have to be very, very careful of that difference. It's not about, you know, oh, the good old days back there. You know, we're called to new things. We're called to continue to go forward, but we do that on a foundation of what God has already done, amen? I hope that makes sense. There's a term we throw around a lot. I'm almost done here. There's a term we throw around a lot. A rededication of our lives to Christ. And most of the time when we use that term, it's in reference to maybe a stumble in someone's faith, or someone has struggled or walked away from their faith and they need to rededicate or recommit their lives to Christ. And that's a good thing. That's definitely, there's a place for that. But even if you remain faithful to God and you don't have those times of backsliding or falling away from the Lord and you're fully committed to him, it's still a good idea to rededicate your life to him. And I do it in different ways. I do it by quoting scripture. I do it through prayer. You know, it's not in the sense of returning from a backslidden state and coming back to Christ after I walked away from him, but it's a reminder. You know, I've shared these, you know, I present myself to you today as a living sacrifice. I offer the parts of my body to you as instruments of righteousness. I have the mind of Christ. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm crucified with Christ. And I just remind, like I said so many times, faith comes when our ears hear our mouth speak the truth of God. I remind myself, you know, sometimes one of the things I say, Lord, I have staked my life on the fact that you, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through you. I staked my whole life on that. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing. There's scriptures that I just call to mind on a regular basis as a reminder and a rededication, a recommitment of my life. It's a regular way that I renew the covenant. God doesn't need the reminders. He's perfect and he's unchanging. But I know that I can drift. I know I can lose focus. And the more I can do this, so I try to make it a regular practice in my life to recommit myself to Jesus Christ every day. And part of that is remembering all that he's done. I want to ask you to stand. Wow, I think I was pretty short tomorrow. There's a couple of things I want to share, but I just get you on your feet here and we'll wrap this up. I came across a year or two ago a message by John Piper. Without getting into the whole thing, but the point is, and I found it, because I was thinking about this a couple years ago, it was a different message, but it was along the same lines. I shared something similar to this, and I didn't even, actually, I didn't even recall that. I just had this fresh in my heart, you know, okay, I feel like this is what the Lord, and then I went back, and I was like, back a couple years ago, I shared something, I used some of these scriptures, but it was a different message. But back then, I had come across this quote from John Piper, and he led his church one Sunday into what he called covenant affirmations. And, you know, just again, it's this idea of the reminder and a rededication, a recommitment, a renewing of the covenant. And Piper says this, the point I want us to see in this prayer is that inexhaustible grace is the basis of our covenant affirmations. We're not taking a deep breath this morning and saying, here goes, I'll give it my best shot. Instead, we are saying, with such a God as this, there is hope that I will get the help I need. And when I stumble and repent, he will forgive me, he will have me back, and I will press on in the promises that I have made to him. You know, obviously, the promises come from him first, but then we commit ourselves to those. And then he goes on, last thing. He says, that is how we come to our covenant affirmation this morning. We do not come in our own strength. We do not come sufficient in ourselves. We come mainly like Ezra, because God is a great, mighty, awesome, covenant-keeping, loving God who will help us and who will show us his love through the covenant. And so, if you would entertain me, I wrote a prayer, and this I think I did share before. Did something happen here? Hey, Doug? There's a couple more slides. I know because you're playing that over top, you just need to minimize the music. You can still play. Can we do it? There's this, I put it up here on the screen once we can get to it. The tougher the season that you're in, the more that you need this. Amen? And I believe, you know, some of you may be in a tough season right now. And I want to just, for us to just pray together and just make these affirmations. We remember what God has done. We renew our commitment to him and our desire to live for him with all of our heart. And so let's all just together There's this and then a couple more on the second slide, but let's all pray this together, if you don't mind, if this doesn't seem too mechanical to you. I hope it doesn't, but you could put your own words. I'd encourage you to do something like this, you know, just as a way for you to renew the covenant with God. Let's go. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, I acknowledge you as Lord of all. I come before you through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. I affirm my trust in you and in your covenant. I humble myself before you and surrender my life afresh to you. You are faithful and you are good. I thank you for who you are and all that you have done. I live for your glory and honor. You alone have the words of eternal life. You made me a new creation in Christ. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. I offer myself to you as an instrument of righteousness. You are my Lord and Savior from this time forth and forever. Amen. Amen. So I don't know where you're at in your life and how that strikes you. Maybe that's the first time you've prayed a prayer like that. Maybe you're here and you have never, you're searching or whatever and don't know Jesus. And may that be, that could be your salvation prayer. You know, acknowledging him as Lord and coming to him through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and trusting in him and what he's done, surrendering your life to him. So whether that was just a reaffirmation, I say just, I don't mean that to minimize it. Whether that was a reaffirmation of your faith or a first-time commitment of your life to Jesus Christ, either way, God hears those prayers. God hears that, and he'll use that in your life. You've got to take steps. Like I said before, when we earlier about that song, you know, the more I seek you, the more I find you. You know, you've got to put some effort into this. We're not saved by our works, but you can't just go and say, oh, well, you know, God saved me, so now I can go just do what I want to do, right? We got to live our lives for him and commit ourselves to him. So, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. This is really a day to celebrate your faithfulness and all that you've done, from sharing communion together to thinking about, for those of us here, how maybe we came to Christ, the circumstances, whether it was in a parking lot or the side of a road or the altar of a church or in our own homes or bedrooms or wherever, God, that you met us. You met us and changed our lives. And so we're thankful. And for those who are new to this and who are just really trying to come to terms and embracing this, I pray, God, that they would understand what you have done for them, and that is through faith in what you've done, grace through faith, that we come to you, God, and are saved and made new. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. We celebrate that today, and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Before you're dismissed, let me pray for the meal next door. How about we do that? Because a lot of times it gets a little busy over there, and it's hard to gather everybody together. Father, it's good to get together as brothers and sisters in Christ and to celebrate just a meal together and some fellowship and just enjoying one another's company and enjoying your provision. So bless the food. Thank you for Missy and Joyce and others that have prepared this. And every month just do such a nice, different folks that do such a nice job to make this a special time for us. So we celebrate and we thank you. Bless it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed. I hope you can stay. We're going to have a great time. God bless.
Carrie.
Brandy, welcome.
Thank you.